Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our time of worship this morning. A few notices before we start. The November notices are available in the meeting room if you require a copy. Shoe boxes need to be returned to church by the 13th of November, please. On Friday night next week is the Trailblazers family event, Banger Bingo, starts at 6:30. Everybody is welcome. If you know of friends and family and neighbours that have young children who might wish to attend, please invite them to come. Revive Men's Breakfast is next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Please book your place with Revive. And we have a men's, women's, kids, family, everybody welcome, breakfast here at church on Saturday the 12th of November at 8 o'clock. The sign-up list is in the meeting room. Please sign up before the day. Thank you. Trinity Singers are hiring the church building for their concert on the 26th of November. I have some tickets available for anybody who would like one. They're £5 each, so if you'd like one, please see me after church. And my final notice is that we are starting the work by the door this week. So if you arrive for prayer meeting and you can't get through the front door, please just come round to the side door. The side door will be open because they're digging up the front and making that good. So I'll now hand over to Matt for our morning worship. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? You're good. Isn't it beautiful that we can come into this warm, lovely building together, share God's love together, we can worship together, you know, you can chat after the service together, you can share with each other, you can have a cup of tea together, we can be fellowship together, but most of all, isn't it wonderful that we can come and worship the Lord together? It is, isn't it? Thank you, Terry. It is. What a blessing. Let us begin our time this morning, providing the tech all works. It does. With a call to worship in prayer. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, you are welcome in this space. We pray that you will pour out your spirit with love and joy. You will strengthen us and you will bring us closer to you. We seek you, Lord Jesus, this morning. We seek your love. We seek your strength. We seek your wisdom. As we worship together, open our hearts and our minds to the message that you have for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'd love to start, as you know, with some thoughts from the psalmists. Psalm 96 this morning. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Can you imagine that? I've often tried to imagine this when I read this particular psalm. Can you imagine the whole earth singing the same psalm at the same time? That's quite a thought, isn't it? You ever thought about that? Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Are you proclaiming every day the good news that Jesus saves? Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to come into this sanctuary and worship the Lord. And do you know what? There's another brilliant thing about this as well. As we come this morning, I don't know what you brought with you. You know, handbags, maybe a mobile phone or whatever you came with you. Maybe a Bible. You know, I hope a Bible, maybe. Maybe you've got it on your phone or your iPad. But whatever you brought with you this morning, you didn't need it. You didn't need it. Because we can just come as we are to worship. God accepts us as we are. Empty-handed, we can come and worship God. And that's the first song we're going to sing this morning. I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring. Which is great because, you know, anything that I can bring doesn't make me worthy of God. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. Let's stand together and sing this hymn. It's a new one, but you have sung it once before with me, so see how you get on with it.
The throne of glory.
good and gracious King. You know, this morning I want to be talking to you and thinking about God's love. Yeah, just a little subject like that. Hope you're ready to be sitting here a while. No, I'm joking. No, just a little subject like God's love, the wonder, the beauty, and the power of God's love. But, you know, we struggle, don't we, with God's love? We struggle with God's love to understand God's love, to comprehend God's love, because it's not easy. So I've got a short film for you to watch, and just to introduce us to some thinking about God's love and a broken worldly love.
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 Love in this world, pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love in my world? Well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love. Spotlight.
Sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
And it never feels like I love you, no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
No promise is a lie. But it doesn't deliver much.
It breaks hearts.
I picked up the pieces of my broken heart one too many times.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
Pain, the loneliness.
The surrender. It's exhausting.
Even when you try to do love right, love fails.
I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
Can't help you.
I love it all.
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end the disaster.
A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saves those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God tells us about it because we wouldn't recognize it if it showed up on our own doorstep.
It's a love that takes its time.
It's profound.
It doesn't brag or badmouth.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
That you can trust.
Hoping. And you never, ever exhaust it.
That's His kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records wrong and self-seeking and being unkind, He still die for us.
How can I love like that? How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me,
but because He first loved me.
Because He first loved and you, and everyone. The power of God's perfect love. There's a broken love in the world, isn't there? It's a conditional love. It comes with, clauses, shall we say. A bit like the small print on the bottom of your electric bill. But we all want to be loved, don't we? Do you want to be loved? Oh, clearly not. Do you want to be loved? Oh, right, okay. I'm just going to say, we want to be loved. We want to belong. When we're weak and we're vulnerable, and hey, even when we're strong and independent, we want to be loved. But we're afraid. We get scared, don't we? We get scared of being rejected by love. Because it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to be rejected by love. But Jesus has a perfect love. A perfect love that doesn't disappoint. A perfect love that does not reject. A perfect love that embraces and accepts, doesn't discard, it includes. And Jesus' perfect love heals and it encourages. It brings joy. It brings happiness. Because love makes us feel special, doesn't it? Nothing more special than being loved. Love reminds us of truth and of value. Yeah, sure, love also hurts in loss and grief, but love also comforts and guides. But you know the beautiful thing, and this is the thing I get excited about. God's love motivates us. Does God's love motivate you? Yes, of course it does. It doesn't demand that you act, but it compels you into action, doesn't it? What an amazing thing that is. Amazing thing to be compelled by God's love to love others. Beautiful thing. Because the love of Jesus is unconditional. And Jesus came to restore that kind of love into a world that's become so acclimatized with broken love, with conditional love, that we struggle, don't we, to understand Jesus' love. Because we keep going back to our broken love and comparing it with that. Well, here at DBC, we're going to begin a new adventure for us. I'm hoping my buttons are going to work. The response team, which you knew about because we talked to you about it at the last church meeting. Well, we've been putting together a plan. It's the beginnings of a plan. It's the beginning of a plan to use our loving home, that's this building, and our loving hearts, that's you, me, and everyone here, yeah? And we're going to help create a warm, welcome space. What does that look like? Well, you know, there's a big government initiative at the moment with local councils and local community spaces, and they're really asking and encouraging places of faith, like ours, to become warm, welcome spaces. We're in a financial crisis. We don't know quite what the... we're so blessed, aren't we? It's nearly nearly November, and on Friday I was still walking around with a T-shirt on. It's amazing, isn't it? But when that weather turns, and there are so many people out there going to switch their heating on, or not, as it case may be, these are hard-working families who are going to come home and will not be able to heat, and may not be able to eat. So as a church, what we want to do is become part of the warm, welcome space. And we want to open our doors up, we're going to open up and we're going to start on Tuesday the 8th of November at 12 noon until 3. And the doors will be open and the area will be heated and there will be food and there will be hot drinks and there will be people here. We are going to be available. We've been working with our local council, working with our local community space, other local community spaces. We're in partnership with our local community. That's what it's about. For the benefit of our community and to show God's love in our community. Do you like the sound of that? Great. Because you know what the next bit is, don't it? We need your help. You knew that was coming, didn't you? We need your help. Because you're the ones that have experienced the love of Jesus in your hearts. You thought there was a catch. You know me too well, Terry. But listen, in all seriousness, we need your help. We need volunteers to share God's love. And to begin with, we're going to start in a place we know we can manage. We don't want to start and fail. We want to start and succeed. So what we want to do is we want to be able to have some people in the kitchen. We want to have some people in the meeting room serving and looking after the building and generally taking care of those and welcoming people that come in. And then what we also need, of course, is people to just sit and chat. Just sit and talk to the people that come in. Because coming into a church might feel a bit alien. It's not for you guys, but it might feel a bit alien to some people. So we need people to just come in and sit and chat. A listening ear, you're quite right, Terry. That's what we need, a listening ear and a loving heart. So there is a sheet out in the meeting room on the table, because what I'm asking you for is to think about how can you get involved? What can you do? Now, we've started with Tuesday, and we're hoping to do every Tuesday from the 8th of November onwards. And we're starting with the 12 till 3, but we hope that with all the volunteers, we can expand that. That's our joy. That's our goal. Think big or go home, they say, don't they? So we're thinking big, but starting realistically. So I'm asking you, if you can spare time, I'm not asking you to spare time every single week, but if you can, that's wonderful. But if you can spare some time and you want to get involved in that in any way, shape or form, please have a look at that sheet, sign up on it, and the response team, which is Maxine, Caroline, where is Caroline? There she is, she's upstairs. Jane, who is also upstairs, and my good self. If you want to come and talk to us and ask us more questions, please do so. We will be contacting you if you put your name on the sheet, and we will then be looking at how we can staff what we're going to be doing and then expand it. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be known as a church in our local community that loves in action? Yes, thank you. Yes, of course it would. Because that's what we're all about. We're all about God's love in action. And we'll take it from there and we'll see how it goes. And if we get to so many volunteers, we get to open up on other days or other times. Maybe we can go later in the evening, later in the afternoon. Maybe we can, you know, when mums are coming out of school with their children. We don't know. It's all about how you're willing to volunteer. So bless you. Think carefully about what the Lord is laying on your heart with that. And if you would like to put your name on the sheet, then you'll be contacted. And if you want to know more about catering in particular and what's going to be happening in the kitchen, then Caroline is the lady to see, because she's taken on responsibility for the kitchen along with Christine. There she is the other lady. They're doing it between them. Thank you, ladies. You're a godsend. You really are. Because we need to get our kitchen sorted and certificated and all okay for us to use. And Jane is heading up all those connections with our council and local councillors and schools and other places that are doing the same thing. And St. Giles are doing something similar. So there is a movement in our town. Now that should excite you. There is a movement in our town of people wanting to love and wanting to care. And it's time for us to show what God's love means in action. Thank you. I feel like a salesman there. It's just a bit sort of slightly strange. But, you know, it's all for the glory of God, isn't it? It's all about glorifying God. And it's all about making God's love a practical, physical presence in the world. And we can't do that without Christ. We can't do that without Jesus, can we? Because he's the cornerstone of that love in our hearts. He's the cornerstone of our church. He's the cornerstone of our faith. So we're going to stop and we're going to sing some praise to Jesus. And the first hymn is going to be Christ Alone, Cornerstone. And then followed on by Come People of the Risen King. Let's stand and we'll praise the Lord together.
Thank you.
Worshipping a dead God or a dead thing, but we're worshipping a living, risen King. Come, people of the risen King. We are your people, Lord. Amen. Amen. Everyone. We want to be an inclusive and loving church. Easier said than done, isn't it? Very easy for us as a church to be unwelcoming. And we hate the thought of that, don't we? Do you hate the thought of our church being unwelcoming? Yeah, the trouble is that, yeah, I do too. But the trouble is, sometimes we don't realise in what ways we can be unwelcoming. You know, sometimes we don't do it on purpose. We don't set out to be that way, but it does happen sometimes. It's just the faulty love of the world creeps in. Anyway, let's just have a moment of prayer. Let's talk to the Lord. God our Father, as disciples of Jesus, we join him in his ministry of healing. He is the Saviour of the world, and nothing in our world is beyond the touch of your love and grace. We seek now to make here a warm, healing, welcoming space. We come with the fragility of our faith and the burden of our sinfulness. We know our capacity to hurt and damage, Lord. Yet in this healing space, there is no greater power than your compassion and your mercy. Nothing in our past or present is greater than the gift of your presence with us now. May this healing, welcoming space be a place of your blessing. With us come people haunted by their pasts, people obsessed by the present, people dreading the future. Come the people who are poor in spirit. With them may we see your kingdom among us. With us, Lord, come people crushed by war and terror, people bruised by oppression and persecution, people wounded by bigotry and ignorance. They mourn with them. May we receive comfort. With us, Lord, people come weary of pain, people burdened by their fears, people worn down by distress. They are meek, and with them may we receive the gifts of your goodness. With us, Lord, people come frustrated by complacency, people ground down by manipulation, people hemmed in by despair. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so do we, Lord. May we be filled. With us, Lord, people come caring for the wounded, people holding out the hand for the dying, people weeping with the grief-stricken. They are the merciful, and so are we. May we receive mercy. With us, Lord, people come struggling with doubts and debts, people confused by questions, people dismayed by the uncertainty. They are the pure in heart, and so are we. May we see God and know him. With us, Lord, come people who have turned the other cheek, people who have stood in the way of hatred, people who have absorbed another's violence. They are the peacemakers, and so are we. May we be called the children of God. With us, Lord, come people who are excluded because they're different. People who speak the truth when others will not. People who peace through justice. They are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and so are we. We pray, Lord, that we may receive your kingdom among us. Guide us, Lord, as a community of your people to love in the same way that you love, Lord. Open our hearts and minds so that we can see through the eyes of Jesus and know what it is to love unconditionally. We pray that your Spirit would grant us this gift this coming week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think we've got any young people going out, have we? Are you staying with us? Yes, you are. Okay. Well, you know, we don't often mention our collections, as it were, and do a prayer of thanksgiving, but we do have a collections box on the wall in the meeting room. In the meeting room, and we do very much rely on and enjoy the blessings that God has shared with you, because you give them to us in your bank, from your bank accounts. So we need money to exist. We need money to function. And God blesses us with that. So let us just give thanks for the richness of God's blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts of money and time and effort and generosity of all those that bring what they have and lay it before you, Lord. Whether it's thousands of pounds or two copper coins, it matters not. What matters is the love behind which it was given. We thank you, Lord, that we are here in this place and that we have the finances to do all the things we're doing. Help us to be good stewards of that money, Lord, and to use it wisely and in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So our reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. It's a short reading. It's only Luke 15, 1 to 7. Not sure if I should ever say only about scripture, but you know what I mean. It's a short piece. Luke 15, 1 to 7. And it's a passage I'm sure you'll all be very familiar with. It's that old story about going out and finding the lost sheep. So here we are, Luke 15, 1 to 7. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now this made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbours, say, "Hey, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I pray that God gives us some understanding to this passage this morning as we try and look at it from the perspective of the love of Jesus. That's the wrong slide. Oh, that's a good start. Right, we'll move on. Here we go. To love like Jesus, that's what I call this morning's message. Quite often when we think about this parable, you know, the 99 sheep and the one, you know, that's what we think about, isn't it? The shepherd going out looking for the one sheep and the 99 left behind. We quite often gloss over the beginning of this story. The beginning of it, which is the bit that motivates Jesus to tell the story in the first place, and that is the Pharisees grumbling and complaining because the kind of people that were attracted to Jesus' teaching, and that Jesus was also attracted to teaching, were not really the kind of people that they believe were chosen by God, because that was them. So Jesus tells them a story to challenge their thinking. Now, I always like to try and think of what sin I think is going on in a passage like this when we start. And for me here, it's quite subtle because we know, or if you've studied the Bible a little bit, or if you've heard, been in plenty of services, you'll often heard the Pharisees rebuked by Jesus in the Bible stories. And we know that they were very exclusive. And it's a pretty obvious kind of scenario that you see in the Bible, that the Pharisees tend to exclude rather than include people. And of course, we don't like to think of ourselves as being the same. But Jesus points at this particular sin because it's a hurdle that needs to be overcome by the Pharisees. Well, guess what, folks? It's a hurdle we still find ourselves standing in front of. It's a hurdle we too today have still got to get over. The hurdle of being exclusive instead of inclusive. So Jesus tells them a story. And he challenges them. Now, If our worldly understanding of love is a broken one, then we begin and we continue to do battle with understanding Jesus' love. As a perfect love, Jesus' love is different from any love that we can understand. How can we know what a perfect love is if we keep referencing back to what we already know and understand and have experienced? And of course, put your hand up if you've never had a broken heart. Exactly. There's no hands up. At some point growing up, at some point, even as you're older perhaps, you'll end up with a broken heart. You'll end up disappointed. Love is going to hurt you. And so that's the love that we keep going, that's the barometer that we keep going back to for love. We can't help it. So what must we do? Well, the first thing I think we have to try and do is we have to try and recognize the need to separate and then elevate God's love in our minds and in our understanding. I'll say it again. We need to try and separate and then elevate God's love. We need to separate it away from the love that we experience in the world, because otherwise we contaminate God's love with our bad thinking, if you like. And we do it subconsciously. Jesus loved everyone and loves everyone. Do you love everyone? Jesus loves everyone because the love that he has is so pure and perfect that it empowers him to see everyone in a unique and special way. I've always liked the idea of Jesus seeing me in a unique and special way, because it beats the way I see myself, and that's got to be a good thing in my book. I don't always particularly like myself. But Jesus always loves me, and he always loves you. So if Jesus loves everyone and he has this perfect righteous love and power to then see everybody as in a special and uncorrupted way, and we don't, it sounds a bit like I'm saying to you that it's impossible for us to love like Jesus. Well, I kind of am saying that to you. It's impossible for us to do that on our own. We need help. We need Jesus. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesian church, and this is from Ephesians 3, and it's 13 to 19. And I love it because he starts this piece with a phrase that Jesus says lots. In the scriptures, you'll read lots, Jesus saying, take heart, cheer up, be encouraged. Because he knows people struggle. He knows we struggle. He knows we fail. He doesn't want us to get down with that. He wants us to get up and keep trying. Paul repeats this. So please don't lose heart because of trials. He says, I'm suffering for you and you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God's power is unlimited. It's a good thing to know, isn't it? From his unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And this is the bit I want you to remember. If you get nothing else from this morning, remember this. Because I love the way Paul writes and envisages this. He says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Any plant that wants to survive has got to have good roots, hasn't it? So that it can draw up goodness from the ground. Well, you know, we're often compared to plants, aren't we? John compared us to the vineyard. Said, with, you know, the vine and the branches, if you remember that. Here, Paul says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people show how wide, how long, here it is for you, And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Because when our roots, the faith that we have, when the roots of our faith draw down into God's love, we will experience for ourselves the love of Christ. And only through experiencing that love can we begin to have any kind of chance at seeing other people with the same kind of love. That's what it takes. What it is to have the power of God's love within us. But it's a challenge. Because no matter how dedicated you are, some people in this world are not easy to love, are they? Come on, be honest with me. Some people are not easy to love. We don't like everybody, do we? Thank you, Terry. Applaud your honesty, sir. But it's true, we don't like everybody, we don't fit with everybody, we can't understand everybody, we don't understand some people the way they do things, and naturally what happens is we shy away from those people. Naturally, before we know it, we become excluding of those people. And the very love that the roots of our faith have drawn down into then cease to be experienced. Are you following me here, yeah? It's conditional in so much that, you know, when we draw down, we draw up this love from having our faith rooted in God's love, we draw up that love and it's meant to do something. It compels us. It doesn't say you can't have it if you don't. It's not conditional, but it does compel us. We're the ones that then go ahead and start putting conditions on what we're going to do with that love, don't we? And we can't help it. See, the Pharisees wanted to put value on their own efforts. They themselves felt that they'd made a good effort to be good people. And they looked at Jesus and demanded that he did exactly the same. Place condition on his love. And Jesus was like, nah, not doing that. That's not what I'm about. There is a new life. A new life that comes because Jesus was willing, out of love, to be nailed to a cross, so that the sin that blocks us from knowing Jesus' love can be dealt with. Good Friday, and Jesus is crucified. And we're more than happy to experience and accept that Jesus has died for us and dealt with our sin. But there's more. Because on Sunday, he rises into a new life. And if we are to follow him, then we are too to rise into new life. We're called to walk in a new life and to walk in love. And Jesus said, I will give you the power that you need in your new life. That new life calls us to be like Jesus. To go out and search for lost sheep like Jesus. In the parable, who do you see yourself as? Because that's the idea of parables. You're meant to find yourself in there somewhere. Who do you find yourself? Are you the sheep? The lost sheep? Do you like the idea of Jesus plucking you from the place that you find yourself in, which you don't like and you're not happy with, and you feel desperate and lonely or whatever, and he puts you on his shoulders and he lovingly carries you back? Is that who you find yourself as? Maybe you find yourself as the 99. You know and love the Lord Jesus and have done for years. And you're in a place of safety. You know you're rescued. And you know what's going to come. And the best is yet to come. As this thought reminds me. Thank you, Dame. Maybe you feel you're one of those 99 sheep. I bet you never see yourself as the Pharisees, though, do you? Not going to be a Pharisee. No. But do you ever see yourself as the shepherd? Let me ask you that. Do you ever see yourself as the shepherd? Because truly, to set the roots of your faith down into the love of God is to be equally compelled into action. Love does not demand action as a condition, rather action is part of the symptom of love. God's love brings power. Power to overcome the fears when we want to put God's love in action. You know, if you're worried about who might walk through those doors, God's love will carry you past those fears and those problems. We have to trust. Gives us power to overcome our selfishness, power to see past our broken conditional love. So as a church, the bride of Christ, loving like Christ, being Christ's ambassadors of good news in the world, called to love like Jesus, a love in action, not just words, surely we are also called to be the shepherds. Yes, we are. Shepherds that protect the weak, search out the lost, and restore love in the world. Okay. So we've got the idea now that we're meant to be shepherds as well. Yeah? Now that means that you've got to go out and look for lost sheep. Now, that has so many different things that that could look like in reality. Because you can be a shepherd in your workplace. Excuse me. You can be a shepherd in your home. You can be a shepherd just walking down the street. So the question is, where are you willing to look for the lost sheep? Is it in the sunny meadow and the nice paved path? Well, if we're not careful, what happens is we begin to measure love. We begin to say, well, how much am I willing to do? I'm not sure. I've got things I want to do and the things that are important to me, and there's all these things in my life. How much am I willing to give up in the pursuit of loving other people and shepherding those that are lost to come and know Jesus? Well, St. Augustine had something to say about this. He said, the measure of love is to love without measure. Oh dear, that puts another light on it, doesn't it? The measure of love is to love without measure. You see, in my experience, the lost sheep are among the rocks and the cliff tops. They're stranded in the storms of life. They are those caught up in debt, spiraling in addictions and fears and worries and struggles. There are people sometimes that do things that we don't like and are not necessarily the same as us. And if we want to rescue them, if we want them to know the love of Jesus, we're going to have to go and find them where they are. And that's much more challenging. We have to love everyone, not just the people that are easy to love. Well, we're asked to love everyone, Terry. We don't have to love the sin of people, Terry, but we are called not to reject them. We're called to include them and not exclude them because of their sin. We're called not to judge them and condemn them and discard them. We're called to show them the love of Jesus. And if you think about what Jesus did on the night they were in the upper room, Judas sat there and Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. He knew he was going to betray him. He knew he was going to do something unloving and terrible. But did Jesus reject him? No, he didn't. All that time he'd spent with Jesus. And yet Jesus knew what he was going to do. The blessings of God, the blessings of grace of God, sorry, the blessings of grace of our God are wonderful, but the joy of Christ is inexpressible. And we've noticed and sung songs this morning that talks about the love of God and the joy that comes from knowing and loving God. Are we experiencing the joy of Jesus? It kind of goes along with the love of Jesus in action. One of my favourite passages in the Bible is 1 Peter 8. His first letter, it says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." What does Jesus say was going on in heaven when the sheep is found? Joy. Joy. That true love that compels us into action, that Jesus goes out and uses to find the lost sheep, creates a joy in heaven. And we too can share in that joy. And I'm excited about that. Yeah? Are you excited about the idea of sharing in Jesus' joy? I like that idea, you know? That's a great thought. I need more joy in my life. It's a wonderful thing. Are we settling, you know, for the blessings and the knowledge that we're saved and that we're loved and that we're cared for, but then somehow that's not coming back in knowing the joy of the Lord as our strength? For the joy is surely the love of God from which salvation comes, flowing through the bride, that is the church. That is the people of God working out the purpose of God for the glory of God in the world. The joy in heaven is a result of the actions of God's perfect love. Are we experiencing the joy of knowing Christ's love in action in our own lives? What it is to experience the joy of the Lord. As I come to an end, let me share some words with you from 1 John. He talks about love in John's first letter. It's 1 John 4, verses 9 to 17. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Notice the real love is attached to an action here. It is that God sent his Son into the world, proving his love for us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take our sin away. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one's ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Because God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. And his love is brought to full expression in us. There's an action behind that, isn't there? God's love being brought to full expression in us. That is, we set the roots of our faith down into God's love. We trust the Lord Jesus. We allow him to dwell in our hearts, and up from those roots we are supplied with a love that strengthens us and compels us into action. And that love is brought to a full expression. There's lots of people out there who don't know anything other than broken love. They don't know anything other than a love that's conditional, a love that runs away, a love that discards, a love that excludes. And they need to experience and see and feel the full expression of God's love. Just like we have for our children. But, you know, I have a favourite cartoon as I finish. I don't know if you call it a cartoon or a meme. I'm not very good with these modern things. But it's some humour that I like. And here it is. So, God is saying to Jesus, "What's wrong, Jesus? You said you wanted a church for your birthday." And Jesus replied, "Yeah, I did. But I'm having trouble getting it out of the box." The box being the church building. We are the church. Let us make sure that the love of Jesus comes to full expression and goes out from our box. We can't do any of these things. In fact, I'm reminded of the words from Peter Strong. Just popped straight into my mind. You know what I'm going to say, don't you, Annalisa? Yes. The people are disappointed in God because the church is not available. Do you remember Peter saying that to us? It's kind of stuck in my mind in recent months. Well, we're going to open our doors and make ourselves available, aren't we? Praise the Lord. We can't do any of these things on our own, and we shouldn't even attempt to do them on our own. We can only do these things because we have Christ within us. It's not me, it's not you, it's not I, but Christ through me. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Gift of grace, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness.
isn't it? Do you agree? Somebody else is celebrating love in here as well. Oh, you can be quiet. Right, excuse me. Right, somebody else is celebrating love in here. Somebody's wedding anniversary. It's Ian and Avril's wedding anniversary. How many years is it? How many years? 60! Bless you both. God with us, go with us, Lord, so that we can love in all sincerity, loathing what is evil and clinging to what is good. We will be devoted to one another as brothers and sisters, honoring each other above ourselves. We will be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We will share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. With your help, Lord, we will bless those who persecute us, blessing and not cursing. We will not repay evil with evil. We will not be overcome by evil, but by your power, Lord, the power of your love and the power of your spirit, we will overcome evil with good. Go with us, good Lord, and live in us the life of the kingdom. For we are convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Amen. Have a wonderful week, folks.